It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO, we are back. We're now back. That's right. We're doing two-a-days in between these four in a row, back-to-back-to-back-to-back NHRA Camping World Series races because, you know, little time, right? We caught up with Wilkerson in the Allen Reinhardt show. We caught up with Kid Chaos, Kyle Koretsky, a little bit earlier. And we told you all Josh Hart would be on this afternoon, and we have got him. He will be on just seconds from now. Driver for R&L Carriers. He's won two of his eight races, right? Like, that's a pretty good win percentage for Josh Hart, like up there with the greatest of all time, Josh Hart. We're going to hear him on the show just seconds from now, but I want to tell you about who supports this show and makes it happen. For instance, we picked up a Patreon since the last show. Think about that. Patreon.com/WFO Radio. You can get there through our WFOradio.com website. And this is the VIP listener club, like listeners who support the show directly with a monthly payment that they choose. And they get some stuff, you know, not a lot. It's really not that great, guys. It's not. But you're supporting the show. And it always blows me away, like how many people are doing. It's like a mind freak for me. And if you feel like you love the show and you want to get some behind the scenes insight and you want to be part of the advisory board and watch the Ignition show, you can go to patreon.com/WFO Radio. And then our sponsors, guys like samtech.edu, who are looking for the next generation of engine builders, of machinists, people who are looking to tune motorsport EFI, people are looking to program CNC machines for companies like SpaceX and Boeing. If that's the career you're looking for, if you never even realized that was the career you're looking for, reach out to the folks at samtech.edu. Talk to them about it. They're located down there in Houston, Texas area. They are approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. They've got a lot of great stuff going on. And every Samtech grad that I've spoken with at the track, one way or another, has had a very positive experience, and they're chasing their dreams. They're doing what they love. So check them out, samtech.edu. And Frank Hawley's drag racing school. We'll talk a little bit about Frank in a little bit, but his graduates are doing good things in the sport of drag racing. But what I always promote is for the listeners, and it's called the Dragster Adventure. It's basically a half day experience where you go drive dragsters. Courses start at $399. You show up with just the clothes on your back. They provide everything, and you get to drive a dragster. And they can even set up the Dragster Adventure Challenge for you, which is a race. So imagine you and your buddies, or you and your sales guys, or you and your best clients all going out there, or a corporate team building experience, racing dragsters against people. And they travel all around the country. So you can actually make it as a gift for someone. And then they work out where they're going to go on the Dragster Adventure. Go to frankhawley.com. Tell them you heard about it on WFO Radio. And I think it is a great experience. You'll get closer to drag racing. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Matt Hartford, Keith Jones, Lake Speed. They did that trackside tech talk out there in Charlotte. I learned so much about ring seal and cylinder honing and bore finish and all of that, why it is so important. And the moral of the story is, the way you've always done it is no longer the way. There's a new way. There's new technology. There's new coatings. There's new materials. And they can decrease the friction inside your engine by, 40% of your engine's friction comes from your rings. And so they can make that number lower, thus free horsepower. Why would you not want to do it? Plus, the lifespan of the rings goes on and on. Go to TotalSeal.com and, of course, subscribe to our podcast that we produce for them called Hidden Horsepower. That has been rock solid. TotalSeal.com. And then there's Marvin Rodak, the coffee guy from Fort Worth, Texas, making custom blends of coffee for people. There is the WFO Radio blend that he puts together, but also exotic coffee from around the world that is roasted fresh per your order. This isn't the vacuum-packed garbage that Bonnie buys in the store. No, this is Rodak's. It is over-the-top amazing stuff, plus grilling tools, tips, information. He is a grill meister. He's been on TV on the Big Bad Barbecue Battle, and you can check out his website, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, and pick up the phone, 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard you on WFO Joe, and he'll set you up with some great coffee. Plus, our friends at Nitro Fish, and of course, you can get your WFO Radio stickers on the website. But now it is time to bring on our Top Fuel winner, his second win in eight starts. It is unbelievable. Now, he is a U.S. Nationals champion in A-Fuel, but what he's doing in Top Fuel, everybody loves it, and we want to get to know him even better. His second time on WFO, Mr. Josh Hart. Josh, how are you doing?
Excellent, Joe. How are you?
I am great. So where are you? I understand you're already in St. Louis.
just hanging out at the hotel, you know, lifestyles of the rich and the famous on the NHRA tour.
Exactly. It is a traveling circus. Ultimately, when I try to explain to my friends what I do, I have to tell them it's kind of a circus, right? We all go together from one town to the next town and set up shop and put on a show.
And yeah, I think in 2019, I was on the road for 22 weeks, driving my truck and setting the circus up and running the car and show to show.
Exactly. Show to show. So the last show, though, went very well. Before we get into the round by round, you guys had a different plan this year. You had to alter your plan, and the altered plan is running all the countdown races, which to me is awesome. Unless I was a countdown team, then I would be pretty annoyed by it.
Yeah, we never intended to run a full schedule this year. You know, we were going to do maybe 8 to 10 races. And with the partnership with R&L Carriers coming on board, we got a good jump on it. So we're going to run the rest of the races and play wild card spoiler.
Wild card spoiler. And how's that working out? It worked out pretty well. I think I'm going to have to start adding up the points, you know, not gained because Josh Hart was there. I think that will ultimately be an interesting stat at the end of the deal. Let's talk a little bit about your round by round, as it was a very interesting race day, starting off with a run against another, you know, cool rookie driver, Alex Laughlin. Right? Alex was running Pro Mod and Pro Stock, and he got the opportunity to run Top Fuel and was just like hooked immediately. Now he's trying to make it happen. So when you guys had to set up to run Alex, you were the number 7 qualifier. He was the number 10 qualifier. Tell me about the prep that went into that and maybe any notes you have from qualifying.
So, you know, I told Alex in the staging lanes that I still kind of get starstruck when I see people like that. You know, you see him on, you know, all the social media outlets holding stacks of cash and all the wins, you know, he's accrued over his career. He's also good at very, very good actually at marketing. But the real secret to success there is Scott Palmer. You can't put that guy down. I know exactly what he's capable of. And we did not take that first round lightly at all.
I can't imagine. Well, is Ron Douglas capable of taking anybody lightly? Like, the guy is amazing to me. And, you know, I don't want to discount any part of your ability, but the move that was like the move was getting that whole operation all in one piece, including Ron Douglas, and bringing them in and just adding Josh. Because to me, every time I talk to the guy, I learn something. His attitude on the track, like he's intense. He's a go-getter.
I'm trying to get that message to all the fans too. You know, like the magic happens in the pits. You know, what happens on the track is cool, but if you want to see a real show, you got to watch these guys in the pits. It's unbelievable. Acquiring the team was a challenge for me. I didn't want to do that. You know, I wanted to do like the whole fly in, drive and fly home thing. And I was not dealt that deck of cards, you know, so we conquered and adapted and overcame and was able to make lemonade out of lemons. A lot of you know that story. So now I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, I'm a loyal bird and my guys are everything to us. You know, that's why we sat out so many races. I've always had the, even in business, the philosophy, you know, do it right or don't do it at all. And you go, we go, you know, and some of our team members couldn't go. So unfortunately that cost us our spot in the top 10, but I still stand behind my decision that it was the right one because my team is everything.
Wow. Well, and that loyalty comes back. Ultimately, everything is this like give and take. Like, does this person appreciate me? I don't know. Oh, they do. Okay. And then you're willing to give more of yourself because you know you're appreciated. And that's so tough in this world today. So you get around Josh. Now, first round, you get around Alex, but what happened in that first round? When I see both drivers with a tough reaction time, that tells me it was either a long tree or a quick tree or something happened to kind of catch you both off. Do you recall?
Absolutely. So, you know, we go in and it just seemed like it was longer than normal. Not saying that it was or wasn't, but, you know, when you're sitting up there, it's like an eternity. And Alex flickered the bulb just a little bit. I felt like I'd already been sitting for maybe a little too much time. And then I think we went in almost at the exact same time. So that always throws everybody off.
Yes, it does. And not that I'm doing it, but I'm sure it does. But ultimately, the performance of the car got you down through there. That 378.8 at 322, setting up a round two matchup against Mike Salinas, who uncorked a 371 in the first round. He's got Alan Johnson over there. And it looked like those guys had woken back up, right? Like Alan Johnson, Mike Salinas, car was going straight down the racetrack. And I was expecting them to be a formidable opponent throughout the weekend. And now you guys have got to race him. You've got Ron. How did you plan to go up against Alan Johnson and Mike Salinas?
Ron and I have the same demeanor in many cases. You know, we want our performance to speak volumes. And truthfully, we just don't care who's in the other lane. I don't care about the big names. I know who they are, and we're going to show them who we are.
Oh, man, that is great. Well, what ended up happening is they blew the tires off and you threw down an 80 and it was getting hot. Like at that point in the day, it was getting hot. It was uncomfortable out there. You know, top end of the racetrack, just seeing people dealing with the heat and those fire suits, pretty crazy. But then you go to the semis against Justin Ashley. Justin, who has had a hot start in the countdown. He beats Leah. He gets around Clay. And now you've got Justin and it was kind of an interesting race because that's when we started to, you know, they reset the computer and the Brittany and Steve race was a little funky. And there was no doubt and question that you got there first. He blew the tires off. You had a little bit of a problem as well, running a 412 at 238. So you had to get the car to recover. But just kind of a weird part of the day because they had reset the timing system and forgot to reset the computer and the wind light flashed in Justin's lane for a second. People were wondering what it was, but there was no doubt that you had gotten there first.
Justin is a little bit different. You know, Justin, I consider to be a friend, and there is not a doubt in my mind that you need to be on your A game when you get to the starting line with him. So when we go up in a situation like that, I put the pressure on myself. And I had no idea what happened. I didn't hear him. I didn't feel, you know, his, you know, you can feel the presence of their car when they're beside you. And when I smoked the tires, I did whatever it took to recover. And then when I saw his light click on, I thought, you know, maybe I was just a fraction red because I didn't see the red. And when you usually go red, you can tell. But I thought, what in the world is going on? So, you know, you look up at the cameras and the cameras are kind of not following anybody either. And I'm going, okay, I really have no idea what just happened. So that was definitely an interesting experience. But nonetheless, I was glad that it was us in the ability to carry on.
Yes. And it was weird for everybody. It's tough when something happens. There's so much trust that is put into the timing system and the timing system picks things absolutely correct. Like, you know, it's probably 99.99% of the time, but when there is some sort of a weird thing that happens, it gets everyone's attention, but ultimately you did win the race. How does Justin leave so well, Josh? You're a pretty good leaver yourself. You've got great reaction times, but like when you're analyzing, like you're 49, you left on Justin Ashley. That doesn't happen very often. And I think that's a marker for you in the future that Josh Hart gets off the starting line, but it's not easy. Some of it's in the tune-up, some of it's in the driver, some of it's just in your DNA. Some people are just quicker than others. How do you react quickly, and how do you think Justin is able to do it over and over again?
You know, I don't know about him, but with me, it's taking a deep breath and making sure that my heart rate's down and just trying to remain calm. You know, I when you had us do the monster matchup in Norwalk, I knew I had him, and the stupid belt broke again, you know, and then Billy Torrance, you know, belt broke again. And I'm like, you know, I'm leaving on these guys. We should have it in the bag. What is going on? You know? So, I just try to do my same routine and, you know, keep my own cool about myself and do my thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's working. It's funny. The monster matchup deal. I ended up talking to Justin about that. Like, you guys like that, you know, that kind of deal. We want to create a moment. We want to get to know the personalities, but it's also, you know, it's a little invasive, right? Here we go to people that are, you know, maybe your friends or maybe you're not friends or who knows. And now we're putting you on stage. We're not quite making you fight or anything, but it's interesting how it is perceived.
Yeah. I know what you want, but That was not a good choice. I have a lot of respect for that guy, so I'm not going to say nothing.
You're right. Well, right. Exactly. Well, we got to figure out a way, though, right? Like, maybe you guys just do two out of three, you know, rock, paper, scissors or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We got a lot of people out there saying what's up to you out there on the social. We'll get to some of those quotes in a second. But you get the win light. Now you're going to the final round against Brittany. Brittany got the win over Steve in a very, the other half of that win light situation. Steve's win light had come on, but the math didn't add up. They did the math. They looked at the video. Brittany had gotten there first. And, you know, that kind of changed the dynamic. What was your perspective of that whole thing? Like who you were racing and what was happening, or by the time you got around, or did it even matter? Were you preparing for a driver or were you just preparing yourself?
So, you know, you look at the statistics again, my belt broke against Brittany. You know, I had her in previous races, and going into the finals, she's a world champion. You know, you can't discount that. And obviously her last name holds a lot of weight. They've earned it. So I was a little bit intimidated going into the finals. I tried to always break the ice with her, you know, and say, you know, I told her a couple of times now that it was an honor to even be racing with them. But I've never felt like that feeling was reciprocated. And it's really disheartening, you know, to me, the sportsmanship. But it is what it is, you know, so we just go up there and we're ready to do our thing. And I had confidence that Ron was going to do something. And our performance obviously was not the same as theirs. You know, they've been number one qualifier and their car is unbeatable. So we were just going to throw down and see what happened. And fortunately, I was able to return the favor to the team this time, you know, by winning on a hole shot.
Wow. That is interesting. The whole driver pre-race, that's got to be difficult, challenging, not challenging. You know, I don't know, but everybody's got their routine. And, you know, here you are coming into the middle of it. She's got a chance to extend that points lead and you took her down, you stopped her. And so it's interesting.
Yeah. I try to be respectful in everything that I do, you know, and I try to tell everybody how it is. Those are my real feelings. I'm being very genuine, you know. John Force, you know, if he says good luck, I'm like, wow, John Force just said good luck, you know.
Right. But,
you know, that's obviously not the case on the other end. So it is what it is, and maybe she'll get my name right now.
Wow. That is very well, that is interesting. You went a 77, she went a 75, you had a 44 light, she had a 72 light, and you got the job done on a hole shot. And that goes back to you being a lever and a great driver. And you've mentioned the belts, the blower belts. Aren't you guys doing like one run per belt or something right now until you sort out the problem? Like I saw a press release that you guys put out and this has been like on your mind, like, man, what's up with this? I know some teams go X amount of life cycle on X amount of parts. I don't know if it's one run per belt, though, but you seem to have solved it. Whatever you did is working.
Yeah, Ron and I have an agreement. I can't yell at him and he won't yell at me. And I walked in after losing to Billy and I said, listen, if Torrance doesn't run it, I'm not running it. If it's one run and done, I don't care. It's we can't keep losing first round. And I feel like we shouldn't have lost first round if that problem wouldn't have presented itself. So, yes, whatever it takes, adapt and overcome, you know.
I love that. You know, my dad has taught me that as a kid that was, you know, big in the Marine Corps. Improvise, adapt, overcome. Like, this is our plan. Oh, the plan isn't working. We have to come up with a new plan and sort it out. Hey, Ricky's out there. He says, you look calm and collected. Is your heart rate low now? Do you ever get excited? But I've seen you excited, but the way you handle stuff, right? I've seen you laugh too, right? But you're very serious about this. You want to win. Talk a little bit about that, Josh, like the way, you know, like we're getting to know you, the more time we see you, the more we get to know you, the more layers and aspects of your personality, we're going to understand like what it's like when you get, you know, excited or angry or irritated, what it's like when you're happy and you're when the right time is to joke around, all of that stuff. But you know, what do you think of his question?
So I'm usually always calm and collective. I've been a businessman before I ever touched a race car. I've never worked for anybody else. My wife and I started with nothing. And we've just been very fortunate to be able to align ourselves with great people as we built our business. And I'm applying that same principle to the race team. You know, when you look at Billy Torrence's outfit and Steve Torrence's race team, strong family, strong business, amazing race cars. You know, everybody wants what they have. So, of course, they're going to have some haters out there, but they are the ideal situation. So great examples is what I'm getting at. And as far as my personality goes, I've had the rug yanked out from underneath me before. So I'm constantly looking at the variables to see what snake's going to jump out and bite me. So hard for me to get super excited because I'm always waiting for the next, you know, shoe to drop. But in business, I've learned a lot. And now I'm learning on the race side too. You know, right now is silly season. You know, that's what everybody calls it. And I'm smarter than that. So I'm going to, you know, partner with Ron Douglas. You know what I mean? I'm going to offer him ownership inside this company. I'm going to go to my guys and make sure it's not always just about money. You know, I want to make sure that they're genuinely happy working with, you know, Josh Hart Racing. And you know, if they want to build this thing and be loyal with us, I'll return the favor and reciprocate. But this is me 99.9% of the time. It takes a lot to rock my boat. You know, if you mess with my wife or my daughter, you might get a different reaction, but this is it.
Wow. No, listen, I love what you say and that little bit of news right there. I've been wondering that, like, is someone going to try to hire Ron Douglas away from you? Because you're a bit of a, you know, at the moment, a part-time team. I know you have plans. I don't know what the timeline is. Maybe you'll share, you know, for next year. But I've been thinking about that. Like, Ron Douglas worked at John Force Racing, and I always admired the guy because, you know, he's got an attitude about him. He's got a little bit of a swagger about him. And when that came to an end, and then he ended up with Vandegrift, like, the guy's had the rug pulled out from under him a bunch of times, too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure he's on the quest for stability. And I was wondering, like, are one of these other teams going to, you know, make him an offer he can't refuse, if he will?
Yeah, it's not always about the money. You know, I mean, I'm in it, like I said before, and I was going to try not to say it this time, the long haul. But, you know, we're going to build this thing. You know, we don't have any reason to hurt one another. So let's build it up. And then when we're done, we'll collaboratively be done. We'll sell it and move on. And I'm not saying that's in the immediate future anytime soon. We can ride it until it breaks. But if he has ownership in it, that stuff don't even enter into my mind.
Interesting. Damon says, speak softly, carry a big stick. That seems to be your mantra, or at least words to live by. Let's see. Hey, Joe, from Kristen's husband, Michael, in Tennessee, you rock. Okay, Kelly Wade out there. Kelly, hi, not to jump ahead, but Josh replied to my tweet the other day about why he should be Rookie of the Year. And part of his response was that he built this team from a not great situation. I think it would be helpful to know what that situation was, says Kelly Wade, journalist.
So I'm going to tread lightly here, but, you know, I prepaid to license. I paid a whole lot of money to race, and situations came about that were larger than average hurdles and ended up owning an operation. So, you know, again, I was trying to just drive the car, fly in, fly out, and that was not the case. So throughout COVID, we had to build this team. Which meant acquiring all new heads, all new blowers, all new engines, completely revamping the clutch program, assembling the proper team members who may or may have not wanted to come back due to the circumstances. So a lot of things had to be mended to be able to participate at Gainesville. So then when we went out there at Gainesville as a team owner, driver, sponsor, and to win, I felt like that was karma saying that I did the right thing.
Wow. That is great. Maybe it is. And I believe in that stuff too. And now you've won twice. What is the long-term plan like for next year? Obviously going to run the rest of the races this year. You're already in St. Louis. It's okay to say long haul. You got R&L Carriers. I love the fact that those guys jumped on with you. I didn't know much about them other than I had heard some advertisements and I have seen them in some other series. But now at Norwalk, I got to speak with a couple of the guys and I got to see you representing them. And it looks like they're getting some bang for their buck with these wins. But what is your long-term plan? Like 2022, are you going to try to run all the races? Are you going to go for the countdown, a full schedule? Top Fuel with some short fields needs your car out there. And I think the sport needs you.
I absolutely want to do all the races. You know, during this year, we were building the brand new Bernie's 2.0. We had some COVID.
Oh, we've lost you. Now you're back. Go ahead.
So basically, it just wasn't in the cards. Next year, obviously, I'm not planning on building any multi-million dollar buildings, and we're going to pump the money into the race team. So we will be there, and we're capable of funding it on our own if our sponsors don't come back on board. But up to this point, we have been able to maintain all of my sponsors, from the alcohol car even through to the transition to Top Fuel.
Wow. Okay. And are you, and Kelly says, thank you for your thoughtful response, by the way. And it was a thoughtful response. Thank you for that. Are you searching for additional sponsorship, or are you solidified with R&L Carriers, and can we get used to seeing them out there?
I think that's a topic for later discussion. They still have some COVID concerns moving forward. But I think if NHRA keeps packing the house and we keep getting them more and more career opportunities coming their way, I think they'll be very pleased. So I'm doing the best that I can. We've literally been on the road for a month out here campaigning at the R&L Carriers terminals to try to host these job fairs and get them as many applications as possible, because there's a shortage across the nation with drivers and operators, and their business. Those people are essential. I mean, it's awesome. But one thing I can say about R&L Carriers is they treat their people so well. They pay them well. It's a great company. There's no smoke and mirrors. It is genuinely a great company, which makes it easy for me to talk about to fans and to other potential people that want to join their ever-growing workforce.
And that's really what it is about right now. Like, they're not looking for people who want to ship stuff. They're looking for drivers to drive their trucks. And that's the challenge out there. And, you know, by all means, use the time right now to pitch the audience. Maybe there's some people out there. Where would they go to connect and you get the credit? Because that's really what it's about, right? Like, we don't want them to get a job at R&L Carriers. We want you to get the credit for them signing up.
Yeah, I mean, where else can you go right out of even high school and start at almost $30 an hour? It's unbelievable. I mean, you have to check this place out. The drivers, you know, there's a terminal every 5 or 6 hours because they care about you being home with your family every night. There's resorts all the way across the United States where they send their employees for free just so they can relax and reset. You got to dig into the company because it is truly an amazing operation.
Wow. And we got one of the drivers out here, David, R&L driver here. And Jim says R&L Carriers, excellent freight company, use them to ship transmissions from Texas to Ohio and back. Hey, was this past weekend your birthday?
That's the rumor.
I should have made a bigger deal of that in the media center. But, you know, we were talking about a race win. How old?
38.
Oh, coming up on the big 4-0. That's it. It's over. That's all right.
No, I'm starting to do math backwards now. I'm like, okay, my daughter's going to be 16 and I'm going to be 50.
Yeah, 50. You're not going to be 50. You're going to be 40. That's not bad. Josh, this has been great. I love catching up with you. I love, learning more about your methodology. You revealed a bunch of things here that I think are interesting. One of which is that the Capco team is the new bar, like the because of the fun factor. That they really do it right. They've got a family thing over there and everybody is buying into it because they all have fun going to the track, enjoying what they do. And you're trying to emulate that. One thing that they have is two cars. How about that? Is that something you'd like to do eventually in the future?
We are in negotiations right now to purchase another operation. Hoping that goes smoothly. I don't know that it'll be a second car, but I'm definitely not taking that option off the table in the future.
Awesome. That is great. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the WFO universe out there? As, you know, 2 wins out of 8 starts, that's incredible. You know, fighting off problems like with blower belts, like who knows how many more you would have already before you started doing things the way you did. You're going to go out there to St. Louis. I think we'll have a packed house out there at Worldwide Technology Raceway, in my opinion. But I think those race fans are ready for some NHRA drag racing. You got any message for the WFOers out there in the world?
I was anxious to get back here to talk to you. And I'm going to be anxious to get back here to talk to you again with another Wally. Appreciate everybody's support, Josh Hart Racing. And, you know, R&L Carriers, TechNet, HLC Trucking, OWV Excavation, all those people deserve all the credit. But main thing is give all the glory to God and keep on trucking. You know, we're here to win races. I'm happy to be a part of the NHRA. I appreciate every one of you.
All right. And, you know, Blake is out there in Wyoming. Blake is a great guy. I always like to ask his question when he asks a question. So I know it's like we're on the home stretch here. But what do you think your chances are of being Rookie of the Year? It's tough competition. We just spoke with Kid Chaos, who is not a Rookie of the Year competitor, but he was admiring the way you handle the car and leave on the starting line. Dallas Glenn, his teammate, kind of a similar situation, but in pro stock. And you guys both have 2 wins. He's got more starts than you, though. How would you, you know, like, that's going to be tough for everybody who votes. So what do you think about your chances?
I hope that everybody takes the time to evaluate the entire package. I'm not a driver. I'm owner, sponsor, driver. I mean, we split drive the truck here. So, I mean, you got to evaluate the entire package. If it's based on just performance on the track, I'm a good leaver. We have both 2 wins. We have both 3 finals. It is what it is. But if you look at the whole package, I don't think it compares.
Got it. No, I love the fact that you're willing to say it how you think it is. And I appreciate that. But hey, Roger Richards says no Capco train horn, though. Everything you can do, whatever you want, but no horn. But I disagree with him. The horn is one of my favorite things. So it all depends on who you are. Mark Robertson out there says, amen, brother. Josh, thank you very much for spending a little time with us on WFO. I'll see you this weekend. Congratulations. Great job. Happy birthday. And keep doing what you're doing. NHRA needs folks like you and someone like me who is like working in this business, trying to create something with WFO. Like, we need cool drivers to be talking about for this foreseeable future. So I appreciate your investment as well.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. Talk soon. Later, Josh.
Yes, sir.
There he goes. Josh Hart with us here on WFO Radio. What's up with that? If you love Josh, share the show. Go to the YouTube. Click share on your social media. Tweet, retweet, repeat. Put it out there. WFO style. And if you like what you're watching, subscribe and click the bell. And remember that we are here multiple times a week. Like, we're doing a lot of shows here, folks. A lot of shows, baby. We had Kyle Koretsky a little bit earlier on in the day, Kid Chaos. He was working, and there's like a trend going. Like, Josh is driving his own truck out there, right? He doesn't have to be doing that, but he's doing it because he's like an intense guy. He's doing it for the love. Kid Chaos is on a big machine. He's crushing rocks out there while he's doing the WFO interview. This has been a great day of WFO. I wonder, will we be able to bring on some new listeners? I think we will. Bring on some new listeners. Always searching for new listeners, folks. That's really what it's all about. But hey, put your comments in the comment section, final comments, and then we'll get up on out of here. We're going to get up on out of here. But I do want to shout out, and you know, Josh, the R&L Carriers machine, Reinhardt said something on the mic about, I guess it was, I forget who it was, but it was Josh and somebody and talking about green cars being bad luck, right? I don't know, man. Green cars aren't bad luck. Back in the day, like ages ago, with peanuts and green cars. I think John Force and Bobby Labonte destroyed that, though. Like right around the same time. But Josh is a very, you know, like he'll laugh. He's serious. And he doesn't hold back. Like, he dropped a couple of things in that interview. Interesting. Good note. A little friction with Britt, right? Before the final round. Is anybody against that? Not me. It's tough stuff out there. Personalities. You're going to have these you know, let's call them alpha dogs out there competing against one another in a one-on-one competition, which is why when Cruz and JR got into it with each other, I didn't have any kind of problem with it at all. You know, adults in adult competition having a disagreement. That can happen. So very cool. Josh Hart. Appreciate him coming on the show. And Kyle Koretsky a little bit earlier. And this is the last show of the day. This is the last show of the week. I'm headed to St. Louis tomorrow. Hey, I want to mention Gary Pritchett. It's got a big alcohol funny car race coming up in Maryland. Is it Cecil County? Where was it? I'll have to get the details. But I told Gary I would promote it. So if you're in the Maryland area, October 2nd is when it's going to be. And start preparing. Like, plan your October 2nd Saturday night, because Gary Pritchett, they're going to do the Bunny Burkett tribute race. And I want to make sure that everybody goes to that, that can go to that, that is part of that, because it's going to be cool. And, you know, Gary, who drives an Alky funny car, the Bunny tribute car, you should definitely go check that out. But also our great sponsors, the people like Nitro Fish, who's got our 10th anniversary t-shirt up in the trailer. Nitro Fish, go say hi to Tamara and Keelan. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, Josh Hart. He came through Frank Hawley's. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal. 40%. Listen, just get Total Seal. And Rodex. At some point, right, it becomes about trust. I've learned so much in these trackside tech talks, my goodness. But the coffee, Marvin Rodak. You know, you, like, let's say you got a race team. Maybe you want your own blend of coffee. You could call Marvin and formulate something. But if you're going to order something from Marvin and you like hot sauces, I highly recommend, like, my favorite thing that he does is the Habanero Endorphin Booster Hot Sauce. Plus our WFO Radio store, where we've got some Amazon products up there and we've got some WFO t-shirts and whatnot. Although I'm getting ready to redo all that. And if you want WFO stickers for free, just do the busy work. P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. And if you see me at the track, shout out, hey, Joe, got any stickers? And I'll probably say no. But sometimes I do. It's pretty crazy. All right, let's see what everyone's got to say out there. Final comments of the week. Final comments. Josh Hart. I missed the live party, says Nicole. Nicole, who was with us for many years as a PR person and is now a TV personality in her own right. It's got a podcast and a show that she does. And she retweeted that Josh was going to be on, and she missed it. Way to go, Nicole. You failed us. No, you just watched the replay. Please share, Nicole. Please share. Timmy says, congratulations. Lonnie says, good show. Thank you, Lonnie. 80 Friday, 77 Saturday, 87 on Sunday, 50s at night. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. I was like, what kind of gear do I need to bring? The normal gear. I can handle 50s at night. You just be tough, right? Yeah, there are times, though. Shockey got to have his doctors. And good news, by the way. I don't want to tell him what the good news is, Jeff, but good news. You missed Kyle. You missed Kyle, Denise. You missed Kyle. Kid Chaos was incredible. You know what? It's right there on the website. That's the thing. Everybody who says I missed WFO, you didn't miss anything. It's all there. It's all still there. It's always there. It's all on the website, WFOradio.com, which I don't promote nearly enough. Everybody go to the website right now and look at all this stuff. Every show, everything. There's the audio podcast and the video file. Just go to podcast and you see every file, everything. It's all there going all the way back. Kalen, great job as always, bud. Hey, bud. Matt Sosnowski, good luck. Thank you. Look at it, that's probably to Josh. But Matt, man, listen, let me tell you about this guy, Matt Sosnowski, okay? Matt Sosnowski and his wife, Cookie, befriended my dad and me way, way back in the day at Miami Hollywood Speedway, where, you know, I got the tree and everything. And our first year of running Pro ET, right, with our brand new at the time race car, which is the 78 Trans Am, which just might as well tell you that this car right here, right, we had some sort of weird Pontiac related problem. And I was in the points and I don't know where I was in the points, but I was up there, right? Top five in the points. And now our car is down and we can't run it. And Matt offered a car, a Pro ET car that he had, you know, that he had two cars at the time. And it was the first time anyone had actually offered me their car to drive. And it was very stressful because, you know, jumping in a different car is a little bit different, but also I was very young. And my dad always said, you know, no, don't ever borrow anyone's car, even in real life. Like, don't ever borrow any equipment. My dad's old school. Don't borrow tools. Don't borrow anything. If you can't afford your own stuff, you don't deserve to be doing it. Right? Like that kind of deal. And that rings true even to this day, but I've gotten beyond it because I know, like, to tell the person, like, hey, I can't afford to fix it. You know, you lend it to me, it's on you. And they trust me to not break it. But anyway, Matt lent me his car and I went a couple of rounds and secured a fourth place finish at the end of the season in Pro ET my first year. And I don't think that would have happened if Matt hadn't lent me his car. So Matt, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, you know, I think about stuff. What year was that, Joe? 1992 is what year that was, because I'm pretty old like Josh Hart, too. 1992. Thank you, Matt, for that. I don't forget stuff. Every single person that has helped me at some point somewhere along the line, like Kenny Koretsky, like Matt Sosnowski, like it's in there. It's in there. Just need to the right opportunity to appreciate. And this was it. Thank you, Matt. Green Race Cars Rock. He's got two. There you go. YouTube said the show was going to be on at 7 o'clock. Listen, I don't understand YouTube at all, guys. If there's somebody that's an expert in YouTube and wants to be helpful to WFO, please reach out to me. Like, why does it take so long for the shows to process? Where can I find the shows immediately? How do I share the link of the show in advance? I would love to go to YouTube full time because, you know, there's money to be made on YouTube. But like this, we're on a 3. I programmed for 3. What's up with 7? Who knows? Bring that swag always, says Denise. She's a big supporter of mine. She heaps such positive reinforcement onto me that I almost don't know how to handle it. MDIR, Maryland International Raceway. Is that where Gary Pritchett's going to be? I tell everyone to like WFO at every race. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. We got to work harder, though. Like, your effort is appreciated, but we have to work harder. We have to overload the social media algorithms. We have to defeat them. Safe travels. Thank you so much. Thanks for what you do. Thank you, Gary. I like his layback way. I like Josh too. I take a long time to get to know people. That's my thing. Like, I let them be and I observe and I don't get in their face. And, you know, I'll say hello and everything, introduce myself, but I want to learn what people, how they are. And Josh, I've studied him and he's a good guy. TV meeting, listening now. Did you check the fall nationals qualifying? Stephen Glenn says, the answer is no. I ate lunch. Sorry. I'll have something for you later on. Do you have any Gio stories from last weekend? We shared a bunch of stories on the Ignition podcast. Not really. Gio had a good time. He did a good job. That's it. Right? He was fine. The kid, man. It was all about the kid. The kid got to start up a super gas car. The kid got to unload a super gas car. The kid got to sit in Hartford's Pro Stocker. The kid had Steve Torrence come up and say some extreme stuff to him. It was cool. It was all about the kid. It was all about the gray. Great interview with Josh. No longer need to be a mega team to win in NHRA. Mega team, you know, mega team. Like, I don't know. Josh might be a mega team getting ready to happen. It's just different now, which is good. Like, when Antron has his own team, and like, I think right now we're in a little bit of a tough spot with car counts, but cars are coming. Cars don't just come overnight. And think about, like, if Palmer and Laughlin can get out there on a regular basis. Hey, I want to shout out to Alex Laughlin and let everybody know he's doing his thing that he did last year where you can purchase a spot on his car and they'll put your name on the car. And I don't know how much it is. Go to his social media, but it worked the last time out. And he's trying to do that to get to Pomona with the top fueler. And so go to Laughlin's social media if you're interested in being involved and supporting Alex. He's trying it again. And, you know, who knows what new methods of getting cars on the racetrack are out there. Old school is cool. Matt is 100% right. That the, well, this is what everyone's been wanting. See, that's the thing. The people who say, and there's always somebody saying NHRA is dead or dying, everything. They're so wrong because there's no one right way to do it. There's no one right way to do it. Like Capco, they just buy stuff from Alan Johnson. And they got the guys that are good enough to make it work as it is. And look what they're doing. You know, and they're in for a challenge. Like right now, the challenge. Brittany Force is the points leader. Steve Torrence goes into this weekend's race not liking the way the countdown format works, but racing in the format that is the format. So he's coming from behind. Is he in the corner? Is he on the ropes? What is he? Is he going to, is that team going to have to fight their way off the ropes? What if they go out and win? You know, like that to me is entertainment. And it ain't over till it's over. So even if they fall further behind this week, that's the drama. I had a video of him letting people know they are a force in April. Well, they are a force in May, June, July, and August, and September as well. So there you go. All right, everybody. Good job with the comments today. Thank you so much. Just regarding our stuff, WFO, we are a small grassroots organization. Got myself, some people that help us, like Steve Brenwald from Brenwald Media, who creates the artwork, right? Like this, you know, puts together our stuff, changes it up every week. Got Patrick, the webmaster, who helps us with our behind the scenes stuff. Giovanni in Miami helps out as well. And, you know, we do the Hidden Horsepower podcast. We do some other stuff. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WFO Joe. And of course, we want you to subscribe to the podcast. I've been thinking about this. This is still a podcast, guys. Not everybody can watch. It's about the audio only experience that is WFO Radio, and especially the Ignition Show. We want you to check out that. You can go to WFO Radio, get some t-shirts. You can go to Nitrofish and get some t-shirts. Nitrofishracing.com. Appreciate that. Here's Steve Brenwald. And yeah, here's the deal. The race car. Everybody's asking me about the race car, right? What are you going to do, Joe? When are you going to get your car on the racetrack? Why are you holding it up? I have a plan that is solid as any plan. October 2nd, the engine comes out. That's it. Baby steps. Engine out October 2nd. I've got a hard commitment from my great friends, Corey and Lee. I'm going to come over. We're going to pull it out. And the engine too. And it's going to be great. So those of you who have been interested about my own racing, yes, I recognize that I have to get back on the racetrack as rapidly as possible. And pulling the engine is step one. And then step two, three, and 11 all come after. Oh, we got some final comments up here. Derek Green missed the show, getting his butt whipped. 4Y, Joe Costello, WFO Strong. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. I'll see you in St. Louis. Shout out WFO. Hit the archive. Thanks, guys.